top stories this hour. An Iraqi panel says the U.S. has been behind the escape of terrorists from Basra jails. Reports say U.S. Defense Department doctors have concealed evidence of torture in Guantanamo. In Bahrain, Saudi-backed forces abduct female students and medical staff amid an intensifying crackdown. Also this hour, the UN chief calls for dialogue in Syria as Damascus asks the UN not to respond to media reports. You're watching World News here on Press TV. We're coming to you live from our headquarters in Tehran. Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, in Iraq, an investigative committee has confirmed that U.S. forces were involved in the escape of a dozen al-Qaeda members from a prison in the southern city of Basra. The committee was set up by the Iraqi parliament. It has found that U.S. forces were behind an operation by a group of Iraqi officers to help the al-Qaeda members escape from prison. The fugitives are behind a number of terrorist attacks in Iraq, including a bombing that hit a market in Basra in 2010. Now, to discuss the situation a bit further, we're being joined by former U.S. Ambassador to Iraq, Edward Peck, from Washington. Mr. Peck, many thanks for joining us here on Press TV. Now, terrorists are allowed to escape from Iraqi prisons. Is that how the U.S. wants to stay in Iraq, by letting go of murderers to create insecurity?
I must admit. Can you hear me?
Yes, we have your voice.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we have your voice, Mr. Peck.
There's something wrong with the phone here. Just one second, please. One moment. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we have your voice, Mr. Peck. Go on. Well, it seems we've lost Ambassador Peck there. We're going to have to get back to him in a bit. Apologies to our viewers for the technical difficulty. We're going to move on now. Newly released files from whistleblower website WikiLeaks show an al-Qaeda operative worked for a British intelligence agency. Leaked files say al-Qaeda militant Adil Hadi al-Jazairi bin Hamlili worked for Britain's MI6. Hamlili is held at Guantanamo Bay Prison on charges of bombing a luxury hotel and two churches in Pakistan in 2002. U.S. interrogators say they're perfectly certain that he was working for British and Canadian intelligence agencies at the time he conducted the terror act. The Algerian is described to be a facilitator, courier, kidnapper, and assassin for al-Qaeda. Well, the Guantanamo files released by recently by WikiLeaks show that British government was a key U.S. partner in extraordinary renditions. Our correspondent Hassan Ghani has a story from London.
The Guantanamo files, as they're now known, are secret internal reports written by U.S. military officers. And so they're not necessarily factual, but they do provide an insight into the military establishment's thinking. And they reveal some embarrassing details about British involvement in the U.S.'s controversial extraordinary rendition program, which began in 2002.
At the time, the British government, led by Tony Blair, had denied any involvement in rendition flights. Later, it admitted that U.S. planes had refueled on British territory. Now it appears Britain was actually a partner in the rendition program, despite being aware that torture and abuse was taking place. Feroz Abbasi was one of the British nationals rendered from Afghanistan to Guantanamo and eventually released without charge after more than 3 years in extrajudicial detention. He says the WikiLeaks documents present just the tip of the iceberg in terms of the abuse that took place.
The interrogators treated the detainees differently. They had free powers to do what they liked. So with me, they administered injections, which sent me crazy, and they took me to Camp Echo. And kept me in solitary confinement for 2 years. Whereas with other detainees, they would beat them, they would get the guards to harass them. So what I say with these WikiLeaks revelations, these documents, they're massage and they're only tip of the iceberg.
Documents revealed in the High Court show that while British intelligence officers involved in questioning at Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan were advised not to condone torture, they were not obliged to stop it.
The UK government knew about me even before I was in American hands, and they decided not to do anything. And they were complicit in my torture by the Americans, meaning that they use that kind of, utilize that information. The Americans will ask me questions on that only the British will be interested in.
In 2002, the UK's Foreign Secretary Jack Straw issued a secret telegram stating that transferring British nationals to Guantanamo was in line with UK counter-terrorism objectives. This, as publicly the government of the time said it had no involvement in the rendition programme. More recently, a number of former ministers have denied allegations that the UK was complicit in torture and said they were slow to realise what the Americans were doing. US President of the time, George Bush, also denied that the US used torture. 172 detainees still remain in Guantanamo, among them Shakir Amer, the last remaining British resident. His friends and family say the British government is doing little to secure his release, and so his fate remains uncertain. Hassan Ghani, Press TV, London.
Well, we're going to go back to our top story there that was making headlines. In Iraq, an investigative committee has confirmed that the U.S. forces were involved in the escape of al-Qaeda members, a dozen of them, from a prison in the southern city of Basra. Joining us now to discuss this is former U.S. Ambassador to Iraq, Edward Peck, from Washington. Ambassador Peck, many thanks for joining us here on Press TV. Let's hope the technical difficulties will not arise again. I'll ask the same question. Is this how the U.S. wants to stay in Iraq, by letting go of murderers and creating insecurity in the country?
You know, the way you phrase that question, there's only one answer I could give you, and that is, of course, absolutely not. And I think it's important to remember that we are not certain that that is the way it happened. It's just that somebody has said that this is what's happened. I haven't heard anything from the American government yet, and I am very, very doubtful that anybody's going to come out and say, yes, that's what happened. I just can't, you know, it's hard for me to imagine what possible benefits the United States would expect to gain from that kind of a move. It seems incredibly unlikely to me.
But, Ambassador, the U.S. has shown a willingness to stay in Iraq beyond its mandate, and insecurity in the country seems a very plausible way to, a plausible excuse, rather, to continue its military presence in the country, because this is becoming common practice. We've heard similar stories in Afghanistan and even Guantanamo, where U.S. has released inmates into the society.
Yes, but that's a little different. The sorts of things we're doing there, we release them to the government releases them to society if society accepts. But here is a case in which it is so incredible for me to think that we would, because we could talk to the government of Iraq. We have an agreement with them, if we've made it clear, or at least, forgive me when I say we, the American government has made it clear that they will indeed leave if the Iraqis say go. But if we wanted to stay, this would be the hardest way to do it, because if you release those people, the first group they're going to go after is the Americans. And I don't think that my government is enthusiastically supporting anything like that.
All right. Now, despite the U.S. narrative of what actually happened, let's take a look at this report. It just says that the U.S. forces were involved in the escape of a dozen al-Qaeda members from a prison in the southern city of Basra. What kind of repercussions can such a practice have if it indeed is common in Iraq and Afghanistan as well?
Well, you know, one of the things that journalists learn to do, and diplomats too, young lady, is to consider very carefully what the benefits are to the people who put out a story such as that. If it turns out that yes, indeed, the U.S. was involved in that, I will be terribly surprised and highly offended, because I just think it is the pinnacle of stupidity to do anything like that. And if the Iraqi government is saying that, they have their own reasons. And I will be honest, it's possible that they have the facts straight, but from where I sit, just doesn't seem reasonable.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. We're going to have to wait and see how the U.S. responds to this. That was former U.S. Ambassador to Iraq, Edward Peck, speaking to us from Washington. Ambassador Peck, as always, many thanks for your insight here on Press TV. Well, moving on, a study shows Pentagon doctors and psychologists tasked with taking care of inmates held at Guantanamo Bay have concealed evidence of torture. Now, the study is based on the medical records and legal files of 9 inmates held at the U.S. prison camp. The authors of the study questioned whether the military doctors should have done more when confronted with potential abuse or torture. The documents are filled with details that show how military doctors noted sudden post-traumatic stress symptoms in inmates who had no history of mental problems. Doctors also heard stories of rape and documented bone fractures, contusions, as well as lacerations, but they did not question the cause of such injuries. The CIA has repeatedly been accused of detainee torture, but this study focuses solely on Pentagon doctors and psychologists' roles in the mistreatment of prisoners. An anti-monarchy group in the UK says it has doubled its membership because of the royal wedding and will force a referendum on the monarchy by 2025. Here's more.
The world's media has become intoxicated by the upcoming royal wedding between Prince William and Kate Middleton. The newspapers are full of stories about Kate's dress and the lavish preparations for the big day. But the UK, who find the whole thing a complete turn-off. Anti-monarchy groups want a democratically accountable head of state and an end to any constitutional role for the royal family. They say the monarchy is unaccountable, expensive to maintain, and unrepresentative of modern Britain.
We've done a poll recently in the past few weeks that showed that nearly 80%, 79% of the British public said they were either largely indifferent or couldn't care less about the royal wedding. Now, that doesn't seem like a nation that's particularly monarchist.
Republic says no nation that claims to value democracy can also value an institution based on elitism, exclusive privilege and hereditary public office. They say that a republican constitution is best for Britain.
We're a campaign group that campaigns for a democratic alternative to the monarchy. So we'd like to have an elected head of state. That's our main goal. And you know, the royal wedding obviously has been a massive boost to us. We've had so many new members, so many new supporters, just a lot of interest that we hadn't previously had. So I think there is a sense that this is sort of gaining ground in people's consciousness.
As souvenir sellers try to make a quick buck out of royal wedding fever, it seems that for the moment at least, most Britons support the royals. An ICM survey for the Guardian newspaper found that 63% thought the UK would be worse off if the monarchy wasn't in place. And 74% believe the royal wedding will give the country a strong feel-good factor. On the other hand, nearly 50% claim to be more excited about getting an extra national holiday than about the wedding itself.
I think we should retire them. I think for pomp and ceremony, they're great, but I don't really see the contribution to... they have no importance in my life.
It's an anachronism. Nobody inventing a modern constitution, writing a modern constitution today, would create a monarchy.
This country has always had a royal family. I'm proud of our royal family. They bring a lot of revenue to the country. Tourists come here just to see the royals.
Here at Westminster Abbey, where the royal wedding will take place, preparations are well underway for the big day. And the authorities have already made it clear that they won't tolerate any disruption to the wedding itself, and that's why they've banned demonstrations on the wedding day. But nevertheless, long-term serious questions do remain over the concept of monarchy itself in the modern world. Roshan Mohammed Saleh, Press TV, London.
About 17 innocent Pakistanis have lost their lives for each American civilian casualty since the September 11th attacks. That's according to an article published by the newspaper The News International. It says about 52,000 Pakistani civilians have been killed and over 100,000 others injured since September 2001. In comparison, the article says American civilian casualties during the same period has been just 3,000. The author of the text says Pakistan continues to suffer socially and economically from the so-called U.S.-led war on terror. He also says the continuous American drone strikes in Pakistan's northwest scare people and compel displacement through migration. The article notes that about 5 million people in the region have been displaced since 2001. Saudi-backed Bahraini forces have injured a woman in the northwestern village of Bani Jamrah. She was among a group of women protesters who were trying to prevent the destruction of a religious site. Elsewhere, Saudi-backed forces abducted 2 female students in Bilad al-Qadim and four female medics in Issa town. Bahrain's Human Rights Center says over 1,000 people have been detained since the revolution began in mid-February. It says 64 women are among the detainees, which is double the number of Palestinian women in Israeli jails. On Tuesday, people in the city of Ali rallied in support of the detainees as part of a crackdown on opposition protests. Saudi-backed Bahraini forces have raided hospitals and schools, destroying dozens of mosques in holy cities. Meanwhile, the Bahraini Foreign Minister Sheikh Khalid bin Ahmed Al Khalifa has denied Saudi-backed forces' brutal crackdown on opposition protesters. A video footage shows bin Ahmed Al Khalifa surrounded by a group of journalists who have been witnessing the Saudi-backed crackdown on protesters. The journalists have raised questions on various incidents, such as riot police firing shots and tear gas at protesters. Some say they've even witnessed protesters' deaths, but the Bahraini Foreign Minister has constantly denied what journalists account.
Standing up. Yes, how are you?
Yes,
good to see you again.
So,
look, how long can this...
I was in a village outside of my hotel, Elite Suite. I was fired upon by the riot police along with a colleague who happens to be Bahraini. He was terrified.
It's a very delicate situation.
Sir, I was in the car. I didn't do anything. They didn't ask me to stop.
They just fired upon me.
We came up... Yes.
It could be
they were fired. They were riot police. They had helmets and guns and tear gas. And because the tear gas got so heavy, we decided to leave.
You should report that to a police station.
We did.
Okay. Then you did the right thing.
But why would they fire on a car?
We don't know. It's an incident that should be investigated.
It seems to be an awful lot
should
of incidents like
it
that,
should
though.
Be investigated. You're not telling me that there is a clear order for them to fire at any car. That's not true.
And apparently they thought
no,
it
no,
was.
No. They're policemen. They are not high officers giving those in those directives.
Wait for your police report to be investigated.
There are staffers at the hospital saying that they've been in Salamania for 3-4 days. They're not allowed out. And that
which
when
hospital?
Salamania.
Salamania.
Yes? And when they leave, they're beaten and they're sent back in.
That I'm just hearing it from you.
Well, you're watching World News here on Press TV. These are the headlines this hour. An Iraqi panel says the U.S. has been behind the escape of terrorists from Basra jails. Reports say U.S. Defense Department doctors have concealed evidence of torture in Guantanamo. In Bahrain, Saudi-backed forces abduct female students and medical staff amid an intensifying crackdown. And the UN chief calls for dialogue in Syria as Damascus asks the UN not to respond to media reports.